This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Resource Center and I'm Maya Tan. I have Raj Kumar in the studio with me. He's CEO of the UCSI Consulting Group. We're on episode 2 of a new series that we kicked off last week. It's called 50 Shades of Strategy. Welcome back, Raj.
Thanks, Maya.
Last week, we talked about the three big elements in business: strategy, innovation, and leadership. And of course, we talked about your consulting framework, which involves the red ocean, where companies are just reacting or trying to defend their businesses, and the blue ocean, which involves reconstructing and disrupting the industries. And this is where everybody wants to be, right? The blue ocean. Today, we're looking at the business makeover. So what constitutes a business makeover?
Well, a business makeover is really a process of relooking at your business, relooking at what we call the strategic sequence, understanding what the strategic sequence should be. So, you want me to go deeper?
Oh, yeah. So, strategic sequence. But before that, though, you know, when you talk about makeover, what does it involve? You know, it's not just renovating your office. It's way more than that, right?
Yes.
Is it organizational structure or is it changing your business focus?
So when we talk about business makeover, you know, like last week when we talk about having the leadership drive to steer your company towards a proactive measure of reconstructing and disrupting, the business makeover essentially is for organizations who've been around for many years. Maybe this is a time not just to renovate your office, but really relook at the entire business model, relook at the entire value, profit, and people proposition. Take a step back and really look at ways that you want to transform your business and reinvent your business. You know, typically business go through that life cycle of, you know, growing and plateauing and then declining. So especially when you're growing, that's the time where you really need to start to rethink what would be the next wave of growth. So that is a process of really doing a makeover. That's the transformation process there.
So what are the questions that businesses need to ask themselves to determine, you know, if they need a business makeover, and if so, where they're going to go?
So we have a systematic process that's essentially that has a number of questions that you should ask. It's, of course, taken from Blue Ocean Strategy, and we call this a strategic sequence. So strategic sequence is, there is a sequence of questions that you should ask, and if the answer is yes, and from top to down, the top to bottom, you will, if your answer is yes, then you have a good business. So, for example, the first question is there a compelling reason for the mass of people to buy your product or engage your services? So this is where the value proposition comes about. Is there an exceptional utility for the mass? And the second question is the price accessible to the mass of buyer? Now, this is very different from the traditional business
SWOT analysis.
Yeah, first you will ask, what is the value? And then next you ask, what's the cost, right? Now, here we are talking about, you have to ask, what's the price? Because you need to know, what is the price that will be accessible to the mass of the buyers? So it's very interesting that once you identify the value, is there exceptional utility? Then you ask, is the price affordable? Because many businesses, they don't have an affordable price point.
Right. So they go from what's my cost, what's my margin, and this is the price.
Yes.
But this is moving backwards.
Moving backwards. So you have what's your exceptional value, and then what's your price, and then what's your target cost? Of course, you want to make sure you have your gross margins, your net margins. Then what are the things that you need to bring down in terms of you achieving your profitability, your profit proposition? And then lastly, what will be the adoption hurdles in actualizing your business idea and addressing them upfront? So if you follow this strategy sequence, then chances are you will be creating a very sustainable business, a very strong business, a business that will have a very big following.
Well, you mentioned this concept of exceptional utility. How do you define that?
So exceptional utility essentially is when we talk about a strong value proposition, meaning that it solves a pain point or it essentially solves a problem in the industry, you know, well, whether it's solving the transport problem or whether it's solving a personal industry problem, whether it's solving end-to-end logistic problems, you know, or customer problems, essentially pain points. So when you address pain points and solve problems, you create an exceptional utility where people say, wow, you know, this is something that is so great. This is something that I want and this is something that I need. So that's exceptional utility.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to take us through a case study to kind of show how this strategic sequence happens. Mm-hmm. But before that, I just wanted to tap into your brain about the idea of zeroization. I think the mobile companies are doing this a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, what if you pay nothing, but you get this service and all you pay for is the phone and, you know, those kinds of targets that companies are moving towards?
Well, for me, sometimes some of this appear to be a reaction and defending, you know, their market share and going down to a point where, you know, it's almost free. You know, I really feel like in the telco industry, for me personally, just a personal opinion, I think that there's a lot of reactive measures. So this process of zeroization or whatever you call it, essentially is ways to make sure your people stay with you. And I don't think that is sustainable at all. You know, I think that there's a price to be paid for anything. And I think that people are not really, how should I put it? They're not, they don't mind paying for something if there's exceptional utility. It's just a matter of not everything needs to be free. People don't mind paying if they get something. In fact, nowadays, it can work the reverse. If it's completely free, you might be suspecting and you might not have 100% confidence.
And the more expensive something is, the more you want it.
Exactly. Unless it's a freemium business model. For example, certain things is free and certain things need to be paid, like Skype and so on. That's a different story altogether.
Right. So if you want more services, you upgrade.
Upgrade and pay. That's fine. But, you know, to do something like this, I really personally think it's a reaction and they're not really reconstructed. They're not really hearing what the customers really want and not really talking or understanding what's happening on the ground.
Yeah. Well, last week we talked about Apple, and Apple seems to be doing the opposite of your price strategic sequence, right, where you look at the price first and then you work your costs backwards. They don't seem to be very concerned about bringing the price down until now.
Recently.
Where with the iPhone SE, which is a complete mistake because nobody wants to go back to the 4-inch screen. And it's just come, I think, a little too late. But what are your thoughts on that? You know, they're saying, we are Apple, we are premium.
I think, like I said, that's why it's the 50 shades of gray of a strategy. There's no right or wrong. So they decide to position their price point at a very high price point. But you must understand that because they believe that they have exceptional utility and they have a very strong brand following, and that brand represents top quality, that brand represents innovation and so on and so forth. Now, that's why they could price it at a very high price. But also, taking into consideration, the price over here in Asia is technically higher than the price actually over there.
Because of the exchange rate.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you really think about it, their price point is still
affordable in the United States or in Europe.
Yeah. And when the telcos actually brought these phones here, it came together with a plan and the price is higher and then there you go. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's a build-up. So that's why, based on what you just shared, is the context over here is still expensive. But still, people still save their money and still, you know, save on lunch, and at the end of the day, still want to buy a phone because they believe so much in the exceptional utility. So I really believe that, you know, if the price point is something that they really thought through carefully because of the exceptional utility that they can actually give.
Right. Well, I believe that the telcos in Malaysia really need to work on exceptional utility.
Yes,
personal opinion.
Yes, likewise.
Don't hold me against it. I'm speaking to Raj Kumar, CEO of the UCSI Consulting Group. When we come back on Resource Center, we're going to look at what it takes to get lean and mean. This has been Resource Center, BFM 89.9. What does startup entrepreneurship have to do with your underwear?
A lot of startup entrepreneurs or startups, they always thought that they can get money from somebody. If I'm an investor, I will ask you one question. Have you sold your underwear, last underwear or not? If you still haven't sold your last underwear, that means you still got some avenue to raise some money. And you must exhaust this, the last avenue, then only come and talk about raising money from other people.
For more startup advice and business ideas, listen to this podcast featuring KL Chan of iPay88, the devil's advocate for startups, on www.bfm.my/resourcecenter. Good afternoon. You're listening to Resource Center, and I'm Maya Tan. Raj Kumar is in the studio, CEO of the UCSI Consulting Group. We looked at the concept of the business makeover, you know, what questions businesses should ask to determine that you need a business makeover and how you're going to go about it. What's the strategic sequence? But sometimes you don't need a complete makeover. Sometimes it's just about getting lean and mean. So Raj, just before we get into lean and mean, you were going to take us through a case study to show how a makeover occurs.
Yeah. So essentially, I would like to share a little bit about a case from the Blue Ocean Strategy book. It's about Yellowtail. Now, Yellowtail is a classic example of a business that have really redefine the wine industry and reconstructed the market, and even to a point disrupting it. So first thing that they did right was, you know, they have this exceptional utility of creating a fun and simple wine to be enjoyed every day by the mass. And as you know, there are a number of pain points in drinking wine with the traditional industry. So, you know, there's a complexity of the wine range, you know, people choosing, various different types of wine from different range and so on and so forth. The complexity is quite daunting. So essentially what Yellowtail did was they went after the mass, which is the beer drinkers, the, you know, the jug drinkers, the occasional wine drinkers and so on. And they created Chardonnay and Shiraz, just two types, both tasty, fruity and sweetish. So essentially they created ease of selection. There's no complex label. And it was basically a screw cap rather than a cork, because not many people actually have a cork opener. And that was what they did. And that was the exceptional utility, which means it could be a wine that is enjoyed anywhere, anytime by anybody. So that's number one. The second thing was they priced it right. They priced it to a point where it was between the premium and the budget wines. It was not the budget wine, but it was above the budget wine, but it was just slightly below the premium wine. So that was a space that they actually priced it. And so it was affordable, you know, for people, especially those that want to drink beer. Now they pay a little bit more and, you know, they have a nice glass of wine. And then they look at their cost structure. When you look at the cost structure, they removed all the above-the-line marketing, the aspects of aging quality, the range and inventory and so on and so forth, which enabled them to be highly profitable. And lastly, you look at adoption hurdles. Obviously, when they create something like this, they were strongly criticized by the market because, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost like insulting the entire wine industry, you know, that's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah, it's a little bit elitist.
Exactly.
That industry.
So, but they were reconstructing and they were going after the market. But, you know, the funny thing is at the end of the day, they still won the awards from this group of people who very first criticized them in the beginning. And they became the largest imported wine into US from Australia, essentially. So this is a beautiful example of how you can really go into a market that is essentially full of players. You know, there's so many existing players in the market, but you can still reconstruct and you can still disrupt the industry and you can still create exceptional utility, exceptional value proposition for the mass of drinkers out there.
Right, it's really interesting. And right now, I think this occurred in 2001, between 2001 and 2007, is that right?
Yeah.
So right now, I think there are so many more smaller labels that have come into the marketplace, and they're actually quite blatant about attacking the new entrant, you know, the new wine drinker.
Yeah.
There are labels which just label their wine as sweet white, sweet red, you know, to make things easy. So they've done a great job. It's not a 180 degree change for their business essentially, but they've sort of carved a new space and a new category even for
you know, a new entry wine labels. Drinkers. But obviously, as you pointed out, Maya, that's a good observation that, you know, whatever you do, eventually when you do it well and you're successful, more people will come.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are trying to do is those people are the ones reacting to what you actually have done. Now, so it essentially, you always need to, you know, go back and you will enjoy a nice amount of time in terms of the market share. But eventually, you need to go back and, you know, relook at your business and take a proactive way again.
And I'm not surprised if Yellowtail has sort of moved into the premium market now, you know, really catering to the people who first criticized them.
Yeah, probably, you know, they are now leveraging off new markets, not just the US and other countries as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes, you know, you don't need a complete makeover and it's just about getting lean and mean. So yep. Let's talk about that. How yep. do you define lean and mean?
Yep. So one of the observations that we have seen recently is that, you know, because the economy is very, very tough, people are going to this cost-cutting measure. And we are really concerned about that because people are just cutting costs for the sake of cutting costs. So when we talk about lean and mean, we are talking about, you know, you can cut the fat, but don't cut the muscle. So it's very important not to do that, because if you cut the muscle, you will be, you know, paralyzed and you won't be able to deliver the value that you're actually offering. So what we are basically saying here is essentially, you know, look at your hot spots and your cold spots. You know, cold spots are the ones that takes out a lot of resources but doesn't really contribute to the value of your business, doesn't really contribute to the top line, doesn't really contribute to bringing more people to continuously buy your business or come in and support you. Whereas, you know, hot spots are the ones where, you know, minimum resources are actually used, but you can see it's moving the needle, it's affecting your business in a very positive way. And that essentially is the muscle. So you must be very, very careful in terms of what you eliminate and or what you reduce and what you raise and create. So essentially, I think, you know, it's very important for organizations, don't just cut costs for the sake of cutting costs. For example, you know, many a times when times are bad, we like to cut training, learning, marketing, because we think that those are not important. But what if there is a need to acquire new skills, new way of thinking, and new way of reconstructing the market, new way of disrupting the market? And many a times people think that, oh, we got no time to sit down and plan. We just have to really survive. So then you go into the space of reacting and defending. You are now, mm-hmm. you know, letting people define your future, and that's a very, very dangerous place to be in.
And if you have already sort of eliminated some fat in terms of your workforce,
yeah.
then you want to ensure that the existing workforce stays with you and that they are skilled.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, in fact,
they are your muscle.
Exactly. In fact, you know, when again going back to Apple, when Steve came back, and you know, they were in the process of just cutting people. But, you know, he essentially, and even his designer, chief designer, Jonathan Ive, was one of the people who wanted to leave the company. But when he got everybody back to the right strategy and focusing on four products and saying that, look, we are going to make great products again, then you keep the right people. And when you have the right strategy, then you can have the right people on board instead of just cutting costs for the sake of cutting costs. Which is very, very dangerous, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So any business today must be lean and mean. And, you know, when you have the right strategy, when you have the right innovation platform, then, you know, you can definitely be successful at even in tough times.
How do you know if you're lean enough? Or is this kind of a perpetual process? Like they say, you know, learning is a continuous process.
Yes.
Should companies constantly keep looking at being lean, being mean?
Yeah, I think essentially you will know you are lean enough when you look at your desired numbers, right? You know, your cost is under control and you have your desired revenue targets, markets that you're growing at a steady rate. And I think that your margins, you know, your gross and your net margins should be at a rate that you are very, very comfortable with, and, you know, your cash flows and all that are, you know, strong. And I think that's where you really need to you know, that those are good indicators of your health, of your organization.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, people always talk about, you know, chicken and egg situation. But I think that has been clear, you know, it was the chicken that came first. So you define what is your chicken and what is your egg.
Do you have a case study for us?
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, I would like to share about Warby Parker, you know, Dave Gilboa, and how, you know, they took on a very big organization called Luxottica, you know, who pretty much in the eyewear industry in the US have dominated the entire supply chain from retail right up to design, R&D, and so on. And they were setting a very high price for glasses. You have to pay up to $600 US dollars for per glass, you know. And per pair of glass, and that's more expensive than the iPhone. And you know, so they had this idea, you know, to create a business model that is lean and mean, and their goal was to bring stylish, affordable glasses to the masses and do it with a conscience. And so what they did was they cut out the middleman, and you know, instead of paying a lot of money for licensing and so on, they essentially created their own 27 styles design, and they directly sold to their customers through the online platform. But not only that, they created a virtual try-on program, and also when you are comfortable with five pair of glasses, they'll send it to your house. And you like it, and then you will just make your order. So very lean and mean, simple business, and they are growing, and they did very well for themselves, and they only sold it at $100 per glass. So it's really, you know, like a fraction of what was being sold out there in the market. And are they profitable? Yes. So you can create a business that is lean and mean, you know, without having too many layers in the supply chain, too many layers in... your entire business becomes very heavy, so you can keep it light and mobile.
And at the same time, they kind of disrupted the eyewear industry.
Eyewear industry, and they were going for the masses. So that's another approach where you desegmentize. You know, a lot of our businesses today is not sustainable because you really defend and react because you tend to segmentize to a point where it's such a small market.
So, and can you define like segmentizing?
So segmentizing is like, okay, we are going for a premium, we are going for the mass affluent, or we are going for, ultra network, and to the point where it becomes so small and everybody's really fighting for that. Although they have a high purchasing power, but, you know, can they really sustain your business? So you're going to react and you're going to really defend if you are the market leader. But if you desegmentize it, if your product can cut across the mass, just like Yellowtail and Warby Parker and so on, you end up having a very sustainable business. You know, you lead your organizations towards creating a market. You have a very good strategy and you have innovation as a fuel, and you'll be successful. You know, it's hard to deny you because you have such a strong, a big pool of customers and what we call non-customers as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Warby Parker has generated some copycats here as well. I wouldn't say copycats. I would say followers. Yes.
Have they?
Yeah, in Malaysia, there's a company called Potter.
Oh, okay.
So Potter's glasses or Potter's, yeah, you can look them up online. And we interviewed them on Open for Business as well. So you can look up the podcast for that. But sure. What are the steps to get lean and mean?
So maybe at this point of time, I'd like to introduce a framework. Essentially, again, it's from the Blue Ocean Strategy framework. It's called the Eliminate, Reduce, Raise, and Create. It's called the Four Actions Framework. So ERRC. So you eliminate factors that have been long taken for granted in your industry that even if it's not there, nobody will really bother. If you can't eliminate, you reduce. You know, sometimes you over-offer certain things because you think that that's what the customer wants. But essentially, you know, sometimes it's just too much. You just don't need it. So you can reduce it. So those kind of things can be like the fat is over-offered and over-given to the customer. So that reduces the cost. Now, you raise factors that really matter to what the customer really wants in solving their problems, in understanding their pain points. At the same time, you create new factors that has never been offered. So by just going back to your business, you know, if you're a CEO, you know, look back at your business and ask yourself, what can I eliminate? What can I reduce? What can I raise? What can I create? You know, from our observations, we're working with many people, we realize that a lot of them have the tendency to hold on to many things which have worked in the past, but they don't want to let go because, you know, just like, you know, a kid doesn't want to let go of the teddy bear, you know, many of them feel that, no, this is what got us here. But the question is, can this get you
for the next
20 years?
Or 50 years or whatever
exactly.
It is.
So that's where you really need to relook and have the makeover and ask yourself, what can I eliminate? What can I reduce? What can I raise? What can I create? How can I reconfigure my business, you know, to be competitive? You know, it doesn't mean that you're a big business, you know, you've been successful for 20 years, that you're doing something wrong. No, you're doing great. But the question is, what's next? What's the future? So that's why, you know, that really compelled us to have this series, you know, to really help organizations to relook at that and don't fall into the trap of just reacting and defending and at the end of the day end up becoming the Nokias or the Kodaks
or the Blackberries.
Or the Blackberries of today. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
There you have it. Business Makeovers and How to Get Lean and Mean, according to Raj Kumar, CEO of the UCSI Consulting Group. This has been part two of a new series on business strategy entitled 50 Shades of Strategy. Catch us again same time, same day next week for episode 3, Innovate or Die. Thank you. This has been Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.